David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
Albert Breer. Like, one of the great things that came out of an absolutely bare season was we established our partnership with Albert Breer. He's awesome. We would always read MMQB, and we're like, that guy's sensational. And then one day, Mike Thomas, our boss, says, would you guys like to have him every week? Damn right. And we ain't letting go.
Absolutely. As long as he's not on with Colin, we can have him anytime.
That's it. Take that. Albert joins us now. Hey, Albert, what's up, man?
I don't know what was that, but that was a hell of an introduction. I appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Put that on your resume tape. So, well, who's going number three in the draft? Because the 49ers have already acknowledged we're getting a quarterback. They've already got a highly paid quarterback.
Yeah.
Everyone thought it's Mac Jones. Now maybe Justin Fields. Now maybe it's Trey Lance. So who are they taking?
Well, let me take you through what I think their process is. I think this sort of goes back to, you know, what was about a two-month study quarterback into the trade. End of January to end of March. Half dozen coaches.
Nope.
Wait, hang on. We're going to put you on hold because we got a bad sell.
You know, I've told you about these big, big introductions. You know, these introductions work if the phone is right on the other end. It's so great that he's on. And then
he borrowed Garfine's phone.
He was actually good yesterday because he called from the office.
Bingo.
That's why it was good.
Because Chuck is restaurant quality, and he had to be in early to do White Sox pre-post.
Yes. So he was.
Yesterday.
So no excuse on the phone for him because he was from the office 15 minutes away from doing TV.
Correct.
So
Albert, we got you back.
Yeah, I hope you guys can hear me. I can hear you loud and clear, so it must be on my end.
Now we got you.
Okay, so, I mean, just to take you through the Niners process, you know, they spent 2 months looking at these quarterbacks. A half dozen coaches, a bunch of scouts, and I think there were different opinions in the building. And I think really where it started was Kyle Shanahan came to, I think, a comfort level that there was going to be someone there at three that he was felt like could be his quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. I think that quarterback initially was Mac Jones, but I don't think that signified a final decision. I think the idea was, let's do the deal early. That way we give ourselves a month where we can kind of sniff around everybody. We don't have to hide what we're doing, right? We can turn over every rock and figure out where we're going to go. And so, yeah, I think at the end of March, the idea was, as long as we're comfortable with one of them, we can go ahead and study all of them. And so my sense of it is that they saw all five, including the two guys they won't get, as first-round talents. And they saw a third beyond Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson that they'd be comfortable with for the next 15 years as their quarterback. My guess is that one was Mac Jones. And then the job of everybody in the building is to come to a consensus on whether or not Justin Fields or Trey Lance, who are both, I think, physically more gifted than Mac Jones, are worth passing on Mac Jones for. So I actually think, like, you know, I know a lot of people have said, like, well, how can you not know who you're taking when you're making that trade? And I actually think that this was a smart way to do it, in that they saw one guy they felt really comfortable with off the tape, and two other guys they were really intrigued with from a talent standpoint, and they gave themselves a month to let the process play itself out.
So I'm wondering your thoughts about Atlanta in this regard. We see there's going to be possibly a run on quarterbacks. Is there a quarterback that we're missing in the conversation, Albert, that you've heard about that could pay dividends for a team?
A quarterback. Say it again.
Is there a quarterback? Is there a quarterback that outside of Wilson and Lawrence and Mac Jones that we're missing in the mix that could make the first round?
Well, no one's missing Lance and Fields, right? I mean, either of those guys. I mean, to me, either of those guys could be. Look. I can tell you guys this unequivocally. You can tweet it out on your official account if you want. there are multiple teams in the NFL that have Justin Fields ranked as the second quarterback in the draft. Not second, like among the three we're talking about, second behind Trevor Lawrence. And I know that because it's coming from teams that are telling me this, that are drafting lower and don't need one. You know, and they've said, like, you know, now we're not studying it like the Niners, the Jets, the Jaguars are, but, you know, we rank them and we study them. And right now for us, the quarterbacks, it goes Lawrence Fields for us, you know. And so, and I think Lance, like you look at his physical ability, and it's not crazy to think that he could be better than a bunch of the other ones. So, I know because we've had sort of Zach Wilson slotted second overall to the Jets for a while, that there's this perception out there that, oh yeah, it's Lawrence gap, then Wilson gap, then, you know, the other three. I think this is more Lawrence generational prospect, and the other four are really, really good players, all worthy of going in the top 10. And in the end, you know, I think they're like a lot of other quarterback prospects, which is like, to some degree, they're going to be at the mercy of where they land, you know? And so, I mean, let me ask you guys this. Would you bet on a quarterback going to the Jets or the Niners right now?
The Niners, for sure.
you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So that's the thing about it. You know, environment can really play into all of this. And I think it's wrong to look at Lance or Fields or Mac as automatically being worse prospects than Zach Wilson. You know, I don't think teams see it that way. I think the way that it's really looked at league-wide is Trevor Lawrence is, you know, I mean, this year's version of Andrew Luck, which is, you know, basically like a once-in-a-decade quarterback prospect. And then after Trevor Lawrence, you've got four guys who are really, really good players in their own right. And, you know, where they wind up in 5 or 10 years could be a product of where they wind up going.
So is there a chance that the Jets are on the clock after Trevor Lawrence? Everyone goes, whoa, they didn't take Zach Wilson. Is that a possibility?
I the one like smoking gun to me in this whole thing is like Robert Saleh, their head coach, went to one pro day and it was North Dakota State. And it's not like he was there to see the offensive tackle, who's a good player, don't get me wrong, but
right.
It's not like he was there to see the offensive tackle. The one pro day he went to was BYU, not North Dakota State. He showed up to that pro day, and to me that was like, okay, like, let's see if he shows up at Ohio State. He didn't show up at Ohio State. He hadn't been at North Dakota State. So, I think... You know, you have to look at this for what it is, and the Jets have given us every indication that it's going to be Zach Wilson, and that was before the last week. And what we saw over the last week, the Jets didn't go to the North Dakota State second pro day yesterday, and they were very. I think it was one person. I think it was a college scout. It was a Justin Fields second pro day. If they were really discussing at this point, if they're really grinding through it and saying, well, you know, maybe it's Zach Wilson, maybe it's not Zach Wilson, then they would have been at those two. And I will say this, too. Joe Douglas said to me directly that they felt like that there were two quarterbacks that were a cut above the rest. So they're one team that I think maybe does see Zach Wilson that way, you know. And I don't think it's a league consensus. I think they were one team that did maybe see it that way, where there is Trevor Lawrence gap, Zach Wilson gap, and then the other three.
Albert Breer with us here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We saw some of the win totals come out of Vegas. We saw that the Bears were, the over-under was 7.5. Just based on the roster composition, does that sound right? Even before we get to the draft, do you think that because they have so many veterans, including Dalton and veterans on the defense, that sounds like a 7-win, 8-win ball club?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. They were 8-8 last year, and they made it into the playoffs. And I think they've got the opportunity to be a little better than that. If they can find a level of stability at the quarterback position, and if they really are all in on Andy Dalton, then we'll see what happens in the draft. But you know, if they have some level of stability at quarterback, which they didn't have last year with the kind of merry-go-round, and the defense still can compete at the level, and I know you have some guys there that maybe you'd be a little bit worried about from an age standpoint. But if the defense is still in the mix to make the playoffs, that's a tough division too. I mean, the Lions are rebuilding, but you expect the Packers to be really good again. And I think most people would think the Vikings are going to be able to bounce back as well. So, you know, I 7.5 doesn't sound crazy to me. I think they might be a little bad, but if I was saying, it probably wouldn't be far off from there.
Before we let you go, do you see Chicago making a move from 20 because Ryan Pace is fighting for his life? Andy Dalton's going to be his guy for 1 year, and they got nothing behind that. So would you be surprised if, Chicago went from 20 up to 6, 4, 10, somewhere like that?
Nothing would surprise me. I can say, here's the way I would answer that. In my early phone calls, and I'm just kind of digging into it now, but in my early phone calls, and up until now, it's been like, okay, like, what about this prospect? What about that prospect? Now we're starting to get a little bit more into who's going where and all of that. I would say I've heard two things. One, team's radar, the radar is up for the Bears being positioned to move up. And number two, I don't think that Ryan Pace has started to make those phone calls quite yet, but they could be coming. There's time. There's 10 days left until the draft, and a lot of those conversations will start to pick up over the coming days. The one interesting piece about this is if they are going to move up into the territory where you get a quarterback, guys, will ownership sign off on sending away future assets? I sort of look at this and I say, okay, if a quarterback slips to 7, and you want to get in front of Carolina and Denver to go and get him, how much is it going to cost you? And is ownership going to be okay with you sending away draft picks in 2022 or draft picks in 2023 to go and get him, knowing, the guys in the building are fighting for their job? And so it's going to be interesting to see how ownership plays into that. I also think you guys know, like, we've heard us about like Lance and Fields potentially slipping maybe to the bottom of the top 10 and how like they quote unquote might not be ready. Right. Well, I would just kind of pay attention to Matt Nagy and his involvement in all this. He's now seen Trey Lance throw live. He's now seen Justin Fields throw live. And he was an interesting part in 2017 of the drafting of a guy who quote unquote wasn't quite ready, and Patrick Mahomes. And so I would be really interested to see how players lean on Matt Nagy in this situation when they're assessing a guy like Lance or a guy like Fields, because I do think those guys have physical ability that's in the category of Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying they are Mahomes, but I'd just be interested to kind of be a fly in the wall and hear how Matt Nagy would assess those two guys if they slip because of his own experience with Patrick Mahomes when Patrick Mahomes was going into the draft. And then, of course, he coached him up to coordinator as a rookie.
Can we just give you a homework assignment for us?
Sure.
Find out if Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have secretly received a contract extension, because if they have, then they're all in to go get a quarterback.
I'll look into that definitely. That's really interesting.
Yes, and the reason why we ask you is because no one knows.
And they won't answer the question. George was asked, and Ted, hey, did you extend these guys? Ryan, what's your contract status? No comment.
Oh, they got no, wow. All right, well, I'll dig around with that. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys giving me a heads up on that.
Please let us know, okay?
Yeah, we really don't know.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, have a good day. See ya. There he is. That's Albert Breer.
Now he will take that to Colin Cowherd. My sources have told me that they have a 3-year contract extension.
Can you imagine if he writes that?
It's possible.
Oh, God.
And then he'll tell us, like, next Tuesday. But I'll, by that time, it'll be too late. One thing I wanted to say about the quarterback situation. Meller, do you hear this? When it comes to first overall draft picks, when it comes to the quarterback spot, only 4 of the last 27 quarterbacks have been to the Super Bowl or won it. 4 out of 27 of first overall picks that have been quarterbacks. It is a crapshoot.
Who are those?
Well, we know a couple, but it's not, you know, Troy Aikman's one of them, right? It's a couple of other ones as well, but I know 4 for sure. And one of them is not Vinny Testaverde.
So you said 4 of the last 27?
Yeah.
Elway was number one overall. He was in the last, I would imagine.
He was in the last 27, so he won 2.
Yep.
Aikman won
2.
3. Aikman won 3.
3. But he's more than 27.
Yeah, individual quarterbacks have won
that have
won Super Bowls.
So you're throwing shade at Trevor Lawrence.
I'm throwing shade at the idea that just because you draft a quarterback number one overall, that person will lead you to where you need to be.
Drew Bledsoe's on that list.
Is Alex Smith on that list?
Peyton Manning's on that list.
Alex Smith was he number one overall?
He was.
He
did not, right?
But
he didn't start. Super Bowl.
He went when Colin Kaepernick was the starter.
Yeah. See, we're talking about those that are starting and winning it for you
and build your franchise around.
It's I'm just telling you, Kev, it's difficult. You think you have the guy, but that guy may not lead you where you want to be unless the organization is tight.
Correct. We'll see. They've spent a lot of money in Jacksonville. All right, up next, we play a little game of do you prefer A or B on this day of 420.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Text chain sent out a very interesting picture. It has what to do on 420 day, and it is A or B. A has at the top of the pile, it is a big box of Reese's Pieces.
Okay.
Now, I saw behind the picture, Hoodie, of that on A, there's Whoppers back there too. Are they included in that?
No, I just think it's the and we have this, by the way, on at Cap J Hood on Twitter and on Instagram, this list. So you also see like Swedish Fish right there as
right.
well. But I
and
think
Milk Duds.
I think we're going to I see Good and Plenty as well. They're making me hungry. So but we're just counting the Reese's Pieces for A. But go ahead with your list.
Okay, so list A has Reese's Pieces. And then these movies, Liar Liar, Hook, Gremlins, Batman, The Mighty Ducks, A League of Their Own, Jurassic Park, Die Hard, Fright Night, Ghostbusters, The Monster Squad, A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Iron Man, The Shawshank Redemption, and The Breakfast Club.
All great movies, right in my wheelhouse, especially The Breakfast Club.
Have you seen them all?
I have seen all of those movies at one point, either at the theater or on VHS. I'm looking at this. Yep, I've seen Fright Night, maybe not, but I think I've seen all the rest of them that you just mentioned.
Okay. I have not seen Monster Squad or Fright Night. I think I've seen the rest. Yeah, I've seen the rest. The other list, list B, has Peanut M&Ms, big box, big box. Mask, the movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Goodfellas, Back to the Future, Karate Kid, Ghost, Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Lost Boys, Mrs. Doubtfire, Tombstone, The Goonies, Friday the 13th Part 3, Captain America, Halloween, and Stand By Me.
I mean,
That's a restaurant quality list, to quote you.
The number two, the B, seems really interesting. I have not seen, you said The Goonies, right? Well, I have not seen that in a long time. Gosh, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off just is on during the day, just randomly. It'll be on AMC or just some random stay. So you could be able to see Ferris Bueller's Day Off almost any day you want on cable.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm siding with B. Plus, it's got the M&Ms I like on the top.
Yeah, I'm not a Reese's Pieces guy. Or a Reese's. I'm not a... I like peanut butter. Like, I eat it almost every day. Almond butter on celery. I'm not a peanut butter and chocolate guy. I'm not.
This is a good list, Meller, because on B, Mask, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Goodfellas, where's Carmen, Back to the Future, The Karate Kid, Ghost, Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Lost Boys, Mrs. Doubtfire, Tombstone, The Goonies, Friday the 13th Part 3, Halloween, Captain America, Stand By Me.
I have to say, when you sent this yesterday, I stared at this way too long because I was like, the collection of movies that they came up with here, and I don't think there was, I don't know how much thought was put into it because it clearly looks like they were just doing some spring cleaning hoodie. They were cleaning out their old VHS tapes and were like, all right, let me go viral here. Because, like, the only movie that Goodfellas, for me, it's almost down to, like, Goodfellas versus Shawshank for me.
Sure.
That's kind of what I because honestly,
Die Hard's pretty freaking good, man.
It is.
The original Die Hard.
Yeah. But, like, the candies, like, they're both good candies. I'm not really going to, you know, nitpick over whether or not, like, honestly, Reese's Pieces versus M&M's, it's like you're asking me to break down an all-time great team versus another one in basketball history and say, okay, now what about the eighth man? I'm going to be like, you know what? It's not a deciding factor for me. Either way, peanut M&M's, Reese's Pieces, you're in good hands, right? It's not going to be a difference maker. So for me, it's just versus Goodfellas. Am I in the mood for Goodfellas or Shawshank is for me what it really comes down to. And I think more times than not, I will take Goodfellas for rewatchability.
Which one was the better movie, Mask or Liar Liar? Same genre, right? Yeah. Same actors?
Jim Carrey. Yeah.
So which one was the better Jim Carrey movie?
Mask was more... got more love. I mean, like, Liar Liar was fine.
Mm-hmm. So it's comedy?
Didn't feel like I
it was okay.
Needed to go. Yeah. Like, again, that's one of those ones where it's like it's in the pile that they've put together here, but I don't know. Hook? You really?
No.
Hook, okay, so pick the top five movies in the pile.
All right. Well, it starts with The Goodfellas.
Yes. Right? So in that pile, Goodfellas. Tell me if you agree with this. Goodfellas.
Followed by Shawshank.
No, in the same pile I'm talking.
Oh,
so
the
you
same
went the top
pile.
Five, yeah. In each pile. Yeah, so you've got sure. Goodfellas, Back to the Future, Karate Kid, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That would be my five.
Yeah, if that was the five, those, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't need this Mrs. Doubtfire. I've seen that type of movie for years. Nothing against Robin Williams, but I've seen
and
that
it's
forever.
Once it was great the first time you saw it. I don't know about... watching it multiple times.
I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire, that's why Tyler Perry became a billionaire. Mrs. Doubtfire, doing the same thing, being Madea.
Correct.
Hello. So being Madea. So there you go.
Okay, then in the other pile.
Top five movies.
Shawshank, Breakfast Club.
Yep.
Die Hard.
Yep.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park is in the top five of the movies that are in this pile here.
You don't like dinosaurs? Not a dinosaur guy?
Is I'm that not what a dinosaur guy.
Is that what you're going to tell me now?
I'm going to go Shawshank, Breakfast Club, Die Hard, League of Their Own. I love that movie. And
Ghostbusters is solid.
Ghostbusters is solid.
The original, yes. God, I went to the drive-in too often watching some of these movies.
Why the hell is Nightmare on Elm Street 3 in here?
To throw you off.
Like, what the hell?
To throw you off, yes.
Oh, and Friday the 13th, Part 3. Interesting.
Yes.
The horror genre covered.
The other one, Halloween, is phenomenal.
How about the original Batman? What's wrong with that?
Who was the Batman? Michael Keaton?
The original one, was it not?
Yes. It was Michael Keaton, correct.
Yeah, that was solid.
Yeah, no, with, no, not Michelle Pfeiffer, because she came in the second one.
No, it's
not. It was Jack Nicholson was your Joker in the original Batman.
I saw a lot of these at the theater. It's amazing. So
Kim Basinger, was she in that? Yes, as Vicki Vale. It's all coming back to me.
So it's, you know what? Jeff, I'm thinking I'm going to take B only because Goodfellas is on there. It seems a little bit more younger on the A side. Like, you guys see the, because the Mighty Ducks remembers on this too. Like, I've seen that. That's enough.
Billy one time, D. Williams. Billy D. Williams was in the original Batman.
Let me smooth.
There's something to. There's something about, like, I don't know. You get in the right age group. Mighty Dick. Whoa. Let me dump that. Mighty Ducks, as I was saying, boys. My son.
What movies do you think we're talking about today, Miller?
That was the old adult stash. Pardon me. Pardon my expression there. I got him confused.
Wow.
But my son, who's 10.
Anal Invaders 3.
All right.
Settle down. Don't say that three times.
We're now in a Norm Van Lier situation.
I dealt with that
yesterday. We are live. We are in a Norm Van Lier situation. We cannot swear going forward here. The Mighty Ducks. My son, who's 10, will watch that, like, nonstop.
Herniated disc. Yes. Go ahead.
Careful.
Careful, Steve Levy. Danny, you have not weighed in. Be careful now because we're live. Hang on a second.
If anyone's going to be clean on this show, you know it's going to be me.
Well, no, gentlemen. That's not the case at all. I'm very concerned.
This was easy for me. There was no back and forth for me. I like the Reese's Pieces better in A, pile A, but that is really the only thing that A has to offer that B does not. Peanut M&Ms are good because you still have the nut part of that. Pardon, you know, I like the, I like nut butters and I like nuts. So the peanut M&Ms are good for me, but the movies in B are far better. Ferris Bueller, all-time classic. Goodfellas, all-time classic. Back to the Future, all-time classic. Karate Kid, all-time classic. And one of my favorite movies that you guys haven't even brought up.
Ghost?
Stand By Me.
Oh.
One of Stephen King's best. I could watch that 1,000 times.
Is that
I
where they
that
go
movie.
Back and find the dead, look at the dead body?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's got Kiefer Sutherland when he's young. It's got River Phoenix in it. I love that movie. Richard Dreyfuss. They talk about the Goocher. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Directed by Rob Reiner, by the way.
For me, B runs away with it. And you can get, I could get rid of Liar Liar and Mask. I hate Jim Carrey. There's nothing about Jim Carrey that I find appealing.
Hate's a strong word.
Well, I'm not Cap. I don't pretend I don't say hate. I actually say hate.
Right, and then find another way to say it without saying it.
You actually said you hated somebody this morning when we were meeting. I can't remember who.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
Word.
You said you hate that guy. Yes, you did. I can't remember who I brought up.
Don't you mean it. Before the show in the IDOT bullpen, we were talking about something and you claim I used that word?
Good you job. Said by the way, I hate something.
By the way, IDOT reminds you, driving responsibly, construction and work zones, Danny, really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com.
You were saying, Danny.
I don't think I used that word, and nobody called me out for it.
Well, I kept it in to bring it up on the air. Sometimes I have to save things. Yeah, for me, B runs away with it. Without a question, B.
You didn't like the rom-com of Ghost?
Ghost is fine. I love Patrick Swayze, but if I want Patrick Swayze, I want him in Roadhouse.
Yeah, I love Demi Moore.
I love Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
I like Whoopi Goldberg, too.
So that's, listen, that's also on Cap J Hood. You can be able to vote A or B, which one you like as far as a stack of movies. And by the way, for those that have not seen this yet, it's just a stack of VHS tapes. So that's the whole thing.
I can't even play these at my house.
You don't have a VHS player?
I don't. No longer.
You still?
We can all go to the boss has. Mike Thomas was telling us the other day that he still has a VHS player. We can go to his house. Cap could bring his weed, and we can just make a day of it.
I have two of them, actually.
Do you have the one where you actually put it in, or do you have the pop top? I remember this old pop top, so you actually had to push it down.
Do I have to dump you again?
Yes.
All right, 312-332-3776. Shot or no shot next.
Take that.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
That's why I see him in the
shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see.
Shot No Shot is brought to you by the wonderful people, Dakota Schultz, Jim Miller, and all at PointsBet Sportsbook. Teddy Greenstein is at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is open. Download the PointsBet app now. Stop by Hawthorne and register your account. Danny, By the way, happy birthday to you, Danny. I missed your big day because I was involved in something.
Oh, really? Thanks, Cap. You had time to tweet us about your bets and tweet a bunch of random people all day, but you didn't bother reaching out to me because you were quote-unquote busy. I got it. I see. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, pal.
I actually did.
Better off not offering up an excuse.
Do you like your gift?
I have not opened it.
There you go.
All right, gentlemen. Hoodie, shot or no shot time.
I am ready.
12 of Europe's top clubs say they are launching a Super League. You've probably heard about that now. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the European Super League model of soccer will be the future of sports.
It'll be the future of a sport, I will say. There has been these threats over the years that the SEC wants to separate themselves from the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's just football and basketball, but definitely football. They figure like they are of their own group. They feel like they're bigger than college football. I think that's going to happen in our lifetime, Cap. I think so.
Okay, so when you say the future of sports, we only have one option for that. That would be the big schools, the Power Five conferences, breaking off and having their own league for all their sports. So if you're in the Big Ten, ACC, SEC, Pac-12, Big 12, those five going, see ya, we're out. But like our pro teams aren't going to break away. They're all part of the same league and they're all tied to long-term deals.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no shot.
I'll say only in college.
Yeah, agreed.
But not in the pros, Danny.
All right, gentlemen, speaking of college, so Sports Illustrated profiled Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
The story painted a picture of a really talented young dude, though, that realizes there's more to life than just football. There was one quote in the piece that's really garnered a lot of attention. I'll read it to you. Quote, "It's hard to explain that because I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do and it's really important to me, but I don't have a huge chip on my shoulder. That's everyone's out to get me, and I need to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture it, and I don't want to." He's getting a lot of attention for that quote. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, this quote is a red flag for Trevor Lawrence.
What do you think?
No shot. He's incredibly talented. He comes from a great family. He's married. He seems to be a very grounded young man. I heard Dabo Swinney a few weeks ago go, he is just an amazing human being who has all his priorities in the right order. And he's incredibly good.
I will say no shot, but I hope that doesn't come back to bite us, right?
Yeah.
Now, again, we can hear from coaches and those that support Trevor Lawrence, but do we really know the athlete? Do we really know him? I will just say on the surface, because we haven't heard anything and seen anything, that I think he's going to be just fine. So I'll say no shot. Hopefully that doesn't come back to bite us. Hopefully he is that model citizen, the person that we've heard about.
Gentlemen, there is new video of a helicopter on Mars. It was posted to Twitter by NASA. Gentlemen, I ask you guys, shot or no shot, you're buying what NASA's trying to sell us here.
Now, hey, man, you've been there, Cap. When you died, you were there.
I was headed that way.
Yeah. And then you just got pulled back into Earth.
Correct.
So when you were there, what did you see? What do you remember?
It was cool, man.
Did it look like that?
No, what I saw had a lot of neon lights and had gaming tables and it had a dispensary. It was an awesome place.
You died and went to Vegas?
Pretty much.
Okay. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, I'm going to say that technology today is so amazing that's a shot.
Okay. Now, and that's... I can't see that, Cap, from here. What does that say? NASA PR?
It's NASA JPL.
Oh, NASA JPL on Twitter. Okay. Yeah. The reason why is because I want people to go there, and so you can see the video that we are seeing on our screen here. Is it daylight 24/7 there? That looks like daylight. Or is that just the camera that they use, Danny?
It's just the studio lighting they've got.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
Conspiracy from the Cap era. They didn't really go on the moon. This is just a movie. Is that what they said back in the day?
That's it.
They said that they're going to the moon. It wasn't
they
real.
They believed that Neil Armstrong was actually in a studio. Yeah.
Conspiracy theories, man. Well, as I've told you many times, Danny, I thought that by the time we got to 2021, Elon Musk would have put a Starbucks on Mars.
He's planning on it.
Oh, he's planning on nothing. He's a fraud. Musk. Musk.
You know, I mean, their days, just to be factually correct, their days are longer than 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
Because it takes them longer to go around the sun.
I understand. But, you know. I get that, Danny, but just this Musk. I mean, where's the dispensary? Where's the Starbucks that we were promised years ago? Like, there's going to be life form on Mars.
He was just on a podcast that I just listened to, and he insists he's going to do it.
Musk.
Is there sports gambling up there?
It's just nonsense.
Or is Pritzker the governor?
It's just – he will cut that off, too. No, you know, it's just nonsense, man. I mean, they've been saying this for years. Like, we're going to have, like, life form. It'll be a vacation spot at some point.
Correct.
But not as Danny described to us in the IDOT studios there in our office. In our meeting,
yeah,
-100 degrees,
-110 it was yesterday when that helicopter took off, and I asked where the frost was, and you all laughed at me like I was an idiot when we were back in our IDOT bullpen. Everybody laughed at me. The charge was led by Mr. Stoner himself, J.R. Strauss. I would like to point out to you guys that it's got nothing to do with the no water. I did a lot of research on this today. There should be frost. There are ice caps on Mars. There is ice caps on Mars, and there's also, because the atmosphere is so cold, it says there's additional layers of ice all over the planet. But why in this video does it look like the desert? Answer me that.
Because it's Vegas up there.
It looks like Sedona. Why does it look like, if it's -110 and they have ice caps, why do we not have ice? I'm not buying what they're selling, guys.
Looking through the microscope. My God, it's Reno.
Exactly.
Why is it Reno, Nevada here?
Never been there. I want to go to Reno.
I mean, just that is amazing. So, yeah, I've always thought there was going to be life form, but clearly not. All right, what else do you have, Danny?
Gentlemen, today is April 20th, 420 day. We've alluded to it a lot. I ask you, shot or no shot, you boys will be getting high today.
That's a no shot.
Because you never have.
Yeah. That's not. I'm not interested.
But someday we're going to do that together.
When Junior and Nook Nook are out of the county, when they're out of jail, then maybe that'll be the case. But as long as June and Nook Nook are still there serving a 30-year sentence for an ounce, there's no need for me to do it.
Yeah, I wish I could, Danny. I would love to partake in 420 day. I can't.
Why? When we were back in the IDOT bullpen, you were saying you were definitely going to get high today. You said it was your first 420 as a stone man.
Right. I was kidding with you. I can't today because I've got a bunch going on. Brett and I've got something to take care of, so I can't. I wish I could.
After?
Not today.
All right.
I got vacation coming up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's got nothing to do with the show.
It's called Awake and
Bake. It's not like you've never gotten high the night before a show.
It's called Awake and Bake.
That's what? That is true.
That's vacation.
Yeah. Was it a vacation when you got high the night before a show? Is that vacation too?
No.
I'm not high. Take that. Sparky? Sparky's not here. You're at work.
Correct.
Oh, God.
Come here, Yoshi. Stanley.
There's no dogs in here.
So, yeah, today's not going to work. I wish I could, but JR will celebrate more than enough for all of us. More than enough probably for the building.
Probably so.
Every day is 420 to him.
Right. That's it.
All right. What else you got, Danny?
That's it, boys.
All right. Meller breaks down this soccer super team format for us because none of us really understand it.
What?
Next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
So,
no.
big news in the soccer world. Stuff that goes on in this studio at the break. Feel like I'm working with a stand-up comic next to me.
But I'm not.
He just makes me laugh every day.
I'm just a dude. I'm not saying anything.
You're more than just a dude.
I'm just a dude, man.
Some of the stuff you find, like some is just like normal sports stuff. And then there are times he finds pictures that he holds up on his iPad, and I can't stop laughing. Then you're like, here's David Kaplan, because I have a read, and I'm concentrating on trying not to laugh on the air. Anyway, so Sunday morning, the Brett man, my son and I, got up, and we watched Manchester United and, was it Burnley? And Burnley. It was a good game. Mason Greenwood, a couple goals. Manchester United is a 3-1 winner. And then there's all these reports on the halftime and post-game show that there's going to be this Super League. And some people, Meller, are calling it the Americanization of professional soccer in Europe. Do you agree with that assessment?
So that's an interesting way to frame it. There are currently three American owners, Stan Kroenke, John Henry, and the Glazers, who also own professional football teams. So I think that's where you're getting it's being framed, the idea of the Super League as an Americanization. I don't know if I would go that far. What they're looking for, what these name brand teams that are breaking off to form the Super League that they're calling it, they want guaranteed revenue. We're talking around $200 million a year. Basically, what NFL teams and basketball teams and baseball teams get for their television contracts, these teams want that guaranteed income coming in from this super league that they're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people are like, oh, that's cool. I want to see the best teams in the world. Because what you have is you have five leagues across Europe, England, Germany.
That would be the Bundesliga.
That would be the Bundesliga.
La Liga.
La Liga, which is Italy. I'm sorry, that's Spain. Serie A, which is Italy. Mm-hmm. And then France, which is not quite on par with those four leagues.
That's where PSG plays.
Correct. But PSG is a global
power. Learning my soccer.
You definitely have a handle on it. But those five leagues, for the most part, are very comparable. So, when you start discussing, okay, how is this, what would be the equivalent in American sports? Hoodie mentioned it earlier. It is the closest comp you could make, theoretically, would be college football.
The Big Five.
Yes, because you've got the Power Five conferences. And amongst the Power Five conferences, would you guys agree, you've got the power programs like Alabama, Clemson.
LSU.
Ohio State.
Michigan, yeah, used to be.
Those programs, for the most part, are kind of the lifeblood of college football, right?
Yes.
They've got the biggest fan bases, the biggest followings.
So would Michigan be like a Manchester United or Nebraska that used to be the cat's meow and now they've fallen?
Sure. That I don't know about Nebraska, but Michigan certainly is they've got the pedigree where they would probably, if you made that equivalent, they would be one of the teams that would go with Ohio State to break off. Maybe Michigan's more of an arsenal. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You can make a whole bunch of different comparisons and go down a different rabbit hole and have fun with that.
All I know is that my Georgia team is Man United in this new deal.
Yeah, that was the comp I put there.
Who's Man City, Alabama?
Yes, I made Man City, Alabama.
Of course. So we'd be Man United, and also in this league, they'd also have a Jan 1 bowl game. just to say, just like my Georgia Bulldogs, they'd also play on January 1st.
Right.
A little pat on the head against Cincinnati.
Exactly. But it would be over in Europe, so instead of Jan 1, it would be on Boxing Day, day after Christmas, Hoodie.
Yeah, I like for people to